Sergeant and Mrs. Smith, you are going to love this house.
Is that a tub in the kitchen?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
And good morning to you as we launch into a new week of sport right here on Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. Good morning to everyone through SEN 1170 AM in Sydney. Brought to you by Bryden's Lawyers. Unable to work due to injury or illness, contact Bryden's Lawyers. You may be listening on the app, or if you're listening on the SEN network, or indeed on the podcast. What has been a very torrid weekend, of course, with the traumatic and tragic events of Saturday at Bondi Junction, where six innocent people lost their lives. We will address that huge story out of 7 o'clock this morning with Robert Avadia from Channel 7 coming on to wrap things up. By all means, if you want to text support through our text line this morning, the Edgewater Homes text line, you can do that, 0457 736 736. But we are a sports program, but it is a story so big and so tragic that, of course, we will talk about it this morning. Robert Avadia, as I say, coming on the show after 7 o'clock. Greg Alexander, my co-host, it did sort of make sport irrelevant in a big way on Saturday. I think we're all rocked to the core and still are and still will be for some time.
Unbelievable and unbelievably tragic too, Vossie, absolutely. I think everyone was, you know, certainly in a somber mood on Saturday when the story was breaking, and certainly in shock. And then yesterday to read the, you know, what had actually gone on at Bondi Junction, quite unbelievable.
All in the space of, I think they've put it down to 23 minutes, 23 minutes, the spree of the killer going through Bondi Junction, and as it obviously hits home, could have been any of us. It's just a shopping centre on a Saturday, people going about their lives, first day of school holidays. So as I say, we will get to that out of 7 o'clock. Sport from the weekend. Boy, it is the weekend of extra
well, still
timing.
Going.
And golden. Well, the Masters this morning,
sports
Brandy.
On. Sport, yeah, it's Masters week.
Do you want to unpack the golf decks straight away just to get everyone up to speed?
Well, I think we should. Yeah, I really think we should. And it was a weekend, Vossie, where golfers were just hanging on. I can't remember seeing the course play as brutal because of the high winds on Friday and Saturday Augusta time. And Scottie Scheffler is still in the lead. The leaders are through the opening six holes. So Scheffler's at 7-under. Åberg is at 6-under along with Morikawa. Max Homer at 5-under. You got Tommy Fleetwood and Bryson DeChambeau. DeChambeau birdied 5 to go to 3-under. Cameron Smith is at 2-under. Now, Cameron Smith chipped in on the second hole for an eagle to get to 2-under.
So not out of the mix. Not out of the mix.
Not completely out of the mix, but you just think this afternoon it's going to be hard to really get something going. The low score of the day, Jason Day had a 3-under, and there's a few golfers that have finished. Minwoo Lee had a good final round, 3-under the card, Vossie, to finish at 4-over. Jason Day, a further shot back, he's finished his round at 5-over the card. Tyrrell Hatton is at 3-under, and he's 5-under at the moment. So that's about the low score of the day so far, but he's still on course. He's at 2-under the card. But 5-under today, it's brutal out. It's still windy, and the greens are like glass.
We will keep you updated in the final round. They always say it doesn't begin until the back nine on Sunday. By the way, Tiger Woods had a last round 5-over par. He's going to finish last of the 60 players who make the cut, but to his credit, still made the cut, Tiger Woods. When we're talking about close finishes from the weekend, I want to just start with the Sydney Derby in the A-League. So Simone and Harry Voss went along, said just an amazing night, an absolutely amazing night. 26,000 crowd at Allianz on Saturday night. One of the great derbies, Sydney FC getting up 2-1. 1-0 through 72 minutes, 5 minutes into stoppage time. Wanderers claw one back for 1-1. And then a matter of a couple of minutes later, young Jaden Kaczarski, super sub, comes on. Nails the goal for a 2-1 win. Now, what was observed at full-time? Mark Radan, who can be a little
prickly.
Loose. Yeah, prickly.
Oh, loose.
Out
prickly
on field,
loose?
Manhandling his own players was observed by the crowd. I mean, What's going on? Like, remember, Nathan Brown never lived at Penrith. Pushing his own players. What, what's anyone else witness that on Saturday night? Because it was there for everyone to see who was actually focused on the coach at the end of the game. I mean,
like a little shove or grabbing and pushing.
Nathan Brown never lifted down, did he? The face slap of Trent Barrett all those years ago with Lance Thompson and pushing, you know, pointing fingers. Brett Furman was there as well, and he slaps Trent Barrett in the face. So anyone witness that on Saturday night? High emotion. But Sydney FC, they're headed for the finals. They are headed for the finals, and the Wanderers, they have to get through some pretty nervous times ahead. At Allianz Stadium the previous night, Brandy, the Waratahs got up one kicking penalty goal to force the game to golden point over the Crusaders, then kicked the field goal. Will Harrison kicked the penalty goal, then he kicks the field goal, and they beat the Crusaders 43-40. So
is that our second win? Waratahs win second number win. Two. They've beaten the Crusaders twice now.
Give it up.
Roll.
Give it up for the Waratahs. Now, those close finishes permeate through the NRL, Brandy. What's your best close finish of the weekend? What a beauty it was.
Well, I only have to go back to last night, Vossie. You know, the Raiders-Titans. Titans probably had no right to be still in the game, but even at halftime, when they scored just before the halftime bell to go in 12-6 down, and then somehow scrapped their way to a 20-all draw at halftime, at full-time. Brian Kelly's kick. Like, now, what a moment that was. Brian Kelly with a kicking NRL kicking record of none from one, kicks the goal from the sideline to take it to extra to golden point. That was quite incredible. And then Jamal Fogarty does it when it looked like, for all money, it was going to a draw. When Kieran Foran missed his kick, and Kieran Foran's no hasn't got a long record of kicking field goals either, and his last shot certainly looked like that. But then for Ethan Strange to run almost 60 metres from the tap restart with less than 30 seconds to go, around the 30-second mark, that was a big moment. He's a very good player. And then Jamal Fogarty, whose kicking game last night was just... You just don't see a better kicking game.
He hits the bombs better than Burton now. Hits the bombs better than Burton.
Yeah, but it's just his all red. It's the variety of kicks that he puts on. Lays on tries, punches into corners, puts up high kicks. That first high kick of the match, Vossie, was as good as you've ever seen. And you're right, throw Matt Burton's bombs into the mix. But for excitement, well, I guess the Warriors mainly was probably...
Well, that's it.
Probably so equaled it.
If Fogarty didn't get that field goal, what was the stat? That would have been the first time we've had two draws in a round for over 20 years. I think it was 2001. We're talking pre-Golden Point. We've never had two Golden Point draws in a round. So the stats people were rubbing their hands together. How good's this? A moment in time. And then Fogarty stepped up. And then you've got other games that were decided by two. I know, we spoke about Roosters Knights on Friday morning's program, but that in the end, by the score, was a 2-point game. Storm Bulldogs 2-point game. Mm. I mean, no, you didn't on Friday. That's true.
Yeah.
Storm Bulldogs.
Don't rub it in. You don't have to rub it in. Yeah.
Storm Bulldogs 2-point game. Eels Cowboys. You know, it was in the balance for a long time. Rabbitohs had
the Dogs. How didn't the Dogs win?
Yeah,
the Dogs.
Poor doggies. Poor Dogs.
They should have won.
Melbourne have become the heart, the cardiac kids, haven't they? They just close finish after close finish.
Three games. And then, of course, you had the Eels and the Cowboys, which you probably just mentioned with Dejan Arce, who I thought was very good in the 5'8 jumper, number six jumper. So that was good. And then you and I spent time together on the weekend, which we always like to catch up and throw around sporting stories. But we just happened to lob out at Homebush for the game where it was... The build-up for the Sharks-Bunnies game was like there was only one side playing. You forgot that there was 2 points up for grabs. It was all about South Sydney, Jason Demetrio. Jai Gray, his first bomb catch and run, which was a moment. That was a moment of the weekend. That was a moment. It was pretty special.
What's the expression? Low centre of gravity, doesn't he? Is that, I don't even know what that means, low centre of gravity, but what it's like.
I've spoken many times on the program this year about people that are vertically challenged, and I won't call him that. I won't call him any names, but he's very short, yes.
Right. Very, very short.
But good. Exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. Just on some of the games over the weekend, you know how we talk about Dally M points in the negative? Pretty remarkable thing if you get around. I'm starting to look at Dally M points almost like an addict now.
What are you trying to guess?
Trying to pick up things that are amazing. But what I did learn from the weekend is that I don't think the wingers have ever had a better weekend than the one just gone by. In two cases, the Cronulla game and the Dragons game yesterday, wingers picked up the 3 points from both judges. So yeah, Ronaldo Militale got 6 points on Saturday night, and I can't disagree with that.
No.
And Zach Lomax got 6 points. A lot of people criticised Nicho Hynes. I don't quite know how Nicho Hynes picked up points from Saturday night. I wouldn't have thought that was one of his better games, but he's picked up another 2 points from the night.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, Nicho Hynes picked up more points. How does that work?
Right.
Just keeps picking up points.
I don't know.
He's had one try assist this year.
I couldn't have given.
Anyway, but the wingers
sort of part time did his job. But Ronaldo's moment, and if you're talking about moments over the weekend, Ronaldo's moment where he caught and then offloaded with one of the more amazing passes for a Teague Wilton try. That was a gold moment. But he was brilliant all game. Mm. And he started strong and just kept going, kept getting involved. And Lomax, you know, his ability to take the high ball yesterday was on show. It was spectacular, some of his takes.
Actually, Brandy, on the Dally M's, this may be a record. I think all bar last night's game, every game the two judges went the same way with their man of the match. Joey Manu Thursday night picked up six points. Viliami Kikau got the 6 from Storm v Bulldogs. Pat Carrigan got the 6 Broncos Dolphins. Daly Cherry Evans, 6 from Manly Warriors.
I was a judge on the Brisbane Dolphins game.
Oh, you're going to say there's a problem, Pat Carrigan?
No, I went Carrigan. I went Cobbo, and I went Walsh.
Walsh, I can see that. Yeah. I can see that. Gutherson got 6 for Parramatta. Militalo 6 for Cronulla. Lomax 6 for the Dragons, and Fogarty got 5. There's the odd one. 5 out of Canberra Titans. Have your say on those sort of things if you want. The Great Southern Bank Open Line. Love to hear from you today. 1300 01 1170. Go anywhere you want, really, on a Monday morning in the wrap-up, the good, bad and ugly. If you want to give a wrap, if you want to put the slipper in, do it.
Yeah, anything you want to talk about. It's a Monday. Generally, anything goes on a Monday, doesn't it? You don't want to be pigeonholed into discussing just one thing or one aspect of the weekend. So let's open it up.
Now, you will know, and everyone, you know, I don't talk much UFC, Brandy, but I caught a bit of the action yesterday. This Blake Holloway, this has gone. They've acclaimed it as maybe the greatest knockout of all time in UFC. It's a knockout. The last 10 seconds of the bout, or 15 seconds of the bout, the two fighters sort of made some gentleman's agreement. Let's just punch on for the last 15. Let's make it an exciting finish. Mm. And with 2 seconds to go, a massive right-hander over the top. Have a listen.
Holloway shows some mortality. Look at this. Holloway just told him. Stand right here. Oh! Big connection late.
Just pandemonium, pretty much, Brandy, in the commentary.
I'd say by the reaction of the commentators, that was a pretty big moment, Rossi.
Max so Holloway.
Looked good, did it?
Good. Holloway, the building, I can't say it on here, can I? They were fighting for the baddest mother something belt, they call it. And Holloway and name? Justin Gaethje. They decided to let loose in the final 10, 15 seconds of the bite. Their five-round. A five-round battle where I think Gaethje had his nose broken in the first. So that was... if you're a UFC fan, you're pretty excited about that.
Yeah. Just a quick text, and it's close to my heart. Boys, this is Barry from Batlow. Boys, how good is the disruptor rule? On the nose, on the nose.
I never really touched on the controversy. The nose. So, South Sydney lose Cameron Murray before halftime on Saturday night.
Yep.
Doesn't play again in the second half. Sione Katoa gets two-game ban later. Yep. Yesterday, forceful contact. There in the Dragons-Tigers game, David Clemmer.
Twice.
Shot in the head. Twice. Like, yeah, but forceful contact. And nothing. Is it because Flanagan gets up? Mate, that's a crap rule. If we are waiting to see blokes prone on the ground to see if they are concussed, whether we're deciding now on the sin bin. And the 10 minutes off the field is so big.
Yeah.
You know, we send everyone off that if it just has a slight scent of a hip drop. Yet we had blatant head contact in two incidents on this round, and neither went to the sin bin. One player later suspended. Clemmer will get suspended today as well.
He will.
So what's going on in the bunker? What is going on? They confusing themselves or something?
It must be.
Second-guessing themselves. Yeah. Brandy, I think it's time you went in the bunker.
Clem could have been sin bin both times.
100%. But certainly the first time. Yeah. First time. Had to be once it was established. If you're penalising him... So just go through the logic of that. You're penalising him for a high shot. You review the video. It's his shoulder, high bicep, direct contact with the head and forceful. Like
swinging.
Rushing in, yeah, hitting
swinging.
Hard,
yeah.
Collects him in the head, and he stays on. How's that work? Graham Innesley, what happens? He'll say, well, we probably should have seen him in. But how? How did one of your main men, one of your referees in the box not see that? They saw it.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, that and the disruptor. Back to the golf too. Just quickly, the golf before we go to a break. Ludwig Åberg, young Swede. He's at 6 under, as is Morikawa, as is Scheffler, who's just had a bogey. So all three at 6 under the card. Max Homa at 5 under. That's top.
By the way, have you got another name for the disruptor? Because I'm getting a bit sick of it already. I feel silly even saying it.
Yeah.
So can we come up with something else?
The cynical disruptor.
Chaser, disruptor in the drop zone. Can we come up with something else, please? We've got some great minds tuned in. Text or call in right here. Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. Our Masters updates, Brandy, brought to you by Golf Space. Elevate your game. And the Breakfast Show brought to you, Brandy, by?
It would be Kubota and also
Bryden's Lawyers.
Our friends Bryden's Lawyers.
That's it. Brandy, on point. This is the show on a Monday morning. Rip in. Go for it.
Vossie, breakfast is powered by Kubota. Mm. Take on any job. With Kubota's mowers, tractors and land pride attachments. You can give us a call on the Great Southern Bank open line. Our number is 1300 011 70. Live happily, clever after with Great Southern Bank.
Stu from Cronulla on the text. Let's open the batting with Stu. He says, how do two touch judges get overruled when they both put their flags up? If it was in the law book that this couldn't happen. Stu from Cronulla. We had the kick. Well, no, that's not right. The referee is always the final person who has to blow goal. Now, he did play goal, didn't he? Grant Atkins. This is the Raiders-Tigers yesterday. Appy Coruscant cannons into the left upright.
Yeah.
And ball goes across the face, but the touch judges both put the flags up. Atkins went goal, but then said bunker review. Mm. And they then ruled no goal, that it hadn't gone between the sticks, Brandy. An unusual one. Bunker had to confirm a no goal.
It was unusual, Vossie. And I thought that watching the game... in at Fox Sports, I said, I'm sure both touchies put their flags up. And everyone in the green room was a bit undecided
yes.
about whether it was a goal or not a goal until the bunker proved that it wasn't a goal.
Yeah, hands tied there a bit. The host broadcaster didn't seem to know what was going on and didn't even throw up a replay.
No idea.
So, you know, and weren't listening or watching to see what was up. We were all over it saying, well, you know, they're reviewing this. We need to see this. And it wasn't
until
after.
We were on it in the green room. Yeah. We were on it, but we didn't get a look at it.
There's a request from you, Brandy. I know you don't do dress-ups, but would you do funny voices? Because the request here is you need to say the disruptor with an Arnie accent, Brandy. Get to the chopper. Can you say disruptor like Arnie?
No, you can. That was good. That was very good.
You covered it off. No, but in commentary at Fox, can you say, well, he's penalised him for being a disruptor.
Yeah, that won't be happening. Port Macquarie Pearl, the Pearl. Sorry, Pearl. Mm. Vossie can do it.
Get to the chopper.
You sounded good. Why do something that you know you won't sound as good as the other person? That's why I look to you when it's voice time and accent time. You're the man. You are the man.
Thank you. To the Tigers fans, I recently sold my grand final tickets to. I'd like it back, please. Dragon Boy of New Zealand.
Oh, come on, Dragon Boy.
The banter of the joint venture clubs. The banter.
Yeah, the banter. Well, the Dragons had the win, didn't they? So the Dragons, 3-3. Like, I know they're down the bottom, but 3-3. That's pretty good. If you had said to the Dragons fans, or Dragons fans, like, before a ball got kicked off, and everyone's going, well, Dragons are going to have a bad season. Really bad. Really
bad thing.
Yeah, really
boom,
bad.
Boom, boom.
You'd take 3 from 3, wouldn't you? 100%.
Mate, they should fill the joint. Brandy, ahead of time. Brooksy's early
exhibit
crow.
A. Brooksy is exhibit A and just put his thumbs up. He said, yes, I'd take 3 from 3.
Early crow. Yeah. Early crow. Brandy, can you declare anyone who's a Dragons fan is allowed a half day off on Friday to give them time to get to the 6 o'clock kickoff Friday night Dragons Warriors, because let's fill the joint Friday night. That's a great game. Dragons Wollongong v Inform Warriors. It's a 6 p.m. start though, so you've got to give people the chance. So Brandy, can you lock it in right now, look right down the barrel, look right into the microphone and say, Dragons fans, you can have a half day off Friday.
Dragons fans, when it hits lunchtime on Friday, that's it. Tools down, off to the footy.
Brandy, are you serious?
Yeah, so where's the crow gone? Where's the crow?
Yeah. And look,
there it is.
And we were at Wollongong on a couple of weeks ago against Manly, and it was full crowd.
Full house, fantastic.
Yeah.
Full house. That was a Saturday. Dragons v Warriors on SEN too. You can tune in on SEN. How good all of that. VB, early mail. He's another early crow. I know what Team List Tuesday will be for the Tigers. Lachlan Galvin in, Sullivan out. That will happen. Galvin will be straight back
in. Spot on. Titans and Rabbits to battle out the Spoon, said Miles too, on the back end of that text message.
The crow, he was late to start. Now the crow won't shut up.
Charlie, shoot the crow, please.
Yeah, need a shotgun.
Bud Sullivan looking... this one. Bud Sullivan says, Tiger Davo, looking to be a horrible signing for us for 4 years. Thanks, Scott Fulton, Tiger Davo said. Yeah, cheers. Another great moment over the weekend, Vossi. And Mark says, when's Sean Johnson's next movie? Great acting performance in Manly penalty. Well, he did grab the leg, but there was contact made. That's
And the match review committee's backed it up. LEA charged, then will be suspended. So,
yeah, end of story. Like, it does seem like, well, okay, so do you give the kicker, and I've heard commentators over the weekend say, oh, well, you know, we protect the kickers enough. They need to be put up, you need to be able to put them under pressure when they're trying to kick a match-winning field goal, but you've got to be careful not to make contact with their leg. Like,
that's right.
The onus is on the defender.
Yeah, and we saw the damage done to a leg. There in the New South Wales Cup with Ilias. By the way, Crichton could go into a best supporting actor, or certainly gets a nomination. There was a moment in the Melbourne game where he got a little touch and then both arms went up in the air and he falls onto the ground. I thought that was
Pappenhausen just giving him a little shove.
Yeah, and he just, the arms go up. Wonderful performance.
What do you think of this one, Andrew?
Yes.
Brimson fullback changed how the Titans played. Is he going to stay there full time? He was very good when he went to fullback. He was very good.
But they need Campbell in their side as well, but they need him fit. Now he's hurt his knee again.
And I don't think they can play Campbell in the front line. Like, defensively, you can't play him 5'8". I don't think that's going to work. But his knee's no good again.
We'll do a quick post-mortem out of the news. Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy, brought to you by the great people at Bryden's Lawyers. Best legal advice, 1-800-848-848.
Vanessa, thank you. Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy, thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. Unable to work due to injury or illness, contact Bryden's Lawyers. A little bit of a weather update here. It looks beautiful outside, Andrew. Currently 17, feels like 17. There's no breeze, top of 23, mostly sunny. Shout out to Brooksy's Cessnock. Wow, okay. Clear, currently 12 degrees, top 28 today.
So Brooksy's going to throw in a random place to do a weather forecast every morning. That's groundbreaking. Put man on the moon
good
next.
Stuff. Good stuff.
We will have our tribute to the victims of Saturday's absolute tragedy and traumatic events. Robert Avardia from Channel 7 coming on the program after 7 o'clock this morning. Of course, we're here to talk sport, looking at dramas out of the weekend in rugby league. Daniel's gone very strong here. Obviously a Manly fan. He says, hey, fellas, when are we going to hear about the bunker being sacked for robbing Manly and an apology from the NRL for the decision? Well, I don't know whether that will happen. Josh Alloyer was charged. Not just penalised. He has been charged.
So the NRL have doubled down.
And will be suspended. So, and if they're calling them an independent committee, the match review committee, then then the decision is supported. Don't think you're going to get any apology.
Good morning, boys. Can we get some Cronulla, some celebration music? Because we are sitting on Cronulla. Top of the ladder. Yeah, up Cronulla.
Up Cronulla.
So the Sharks are sitting on top of the ladder. Melbourne in second. You got the Raiders sitting third. Cowboys, Dolphins, Panthers, Warriors and Manly are the top eight.
The seven. I wonder if that draw point will come into play big time later in the season. But there it is, up Cronulla. And our ladder update for Bailey Ladders, best platform ladders. You know, if you just got to have them. If you want to really care about safety, Bailey Ladders, they are the ones to have. The Bailey Ladders update. Sadly, at the other end of the ladder, Titans and Rabbitohs down the bottom on two. And Rabbitohs are still officially last because of that massive negative points differential. And again the other night, conceding another 34 points while the margin was only 12. Man, 32 points a game, Rabbitohs. That is horrid. It's now in the territory of the worst defensive start teams in the history of rugby league. I think going into the weekend, they were 23rd all time. Or after the weekend, they're 23rd all time worst defensive averages through the opening of a season. And I know we haven't had 4-point tries, but we've had them for a long time. Had him since 1983.
We spoke about it on Fox Sport on the panel yesterday about Jason Demetriou. Are you surprised that they've left him there, or is that what you were thinking after the game on Saturday night? Were you thinking, okay, well, I think he's stay of execution. Probably got another week at least in him.
Well, it's a ridiculous way to run your business if you're doing it game by game. If you're waiting to see how the team reacted on Saturday night. So what were you looking for? What was the barometer? Was defence the barometer? Has Demetriou been saved by the injuries?
Could have.
What's happened?
That could have played a part.
Three plays first half and not get beaten by 50. So, well, that's a stupid way to run your business because the next two are Melbourne and Penrith, aren't they? They play Melbourne Penrith?
Melbourne Penrith.
You reckon South are going to beat Melbourne or Penrith?
Well, I don't know. I don't think so. Not at this stage of things. Nick Pappas did say, coming into the weekend, he said, we won't be guided by wins or losses. We'll be guided by their effort and their determination and their resilience and things that they haven't shown before so far this year. And he said, if they don't show that, there's some hard decisions to make. So, obviously... It was about them having a dig, having a go. That's what it was about. It was whether he can get the side up to have a dig. Crack.
Yeah, some players who are getting paid, you know, $10,000 a week. It doesn't make sense, does it? So you're going to sack players too?
No, it doesn't make sense.
Really?
No. So we're not having a go in the opening five rounds, but we're going to have a go now because the coach is under pressure. And if we don't have a go, he'll be out of a job.
No. Well, South's the bottom four then. If that's
because I'm stunned. Can you go back to the Dally M points? Because I've got a problem with this. How does Nicho Hynes get 2 points?
One of the judges has given Nicho Hynes. I know it sounds like we're piling on Nicho Hynes, but people do. They have the perception that he just when in doubt, give Nicho Hynes points. That's the truth. That's the perception of people. And Nicho Hynes picked up 2 points. Mulatalo got 3 points off both judges.
So one judge gave Nicho Hynes the second best player on the field.
Second best player on the field, which I didn't have him in the top 10.
No.
I didn't have him in the top 10.
No. You could rattle off.
I think Trindle was better out of the playmakers. Brayley picked up 2 from the other judge. Totally support that. Brayley was fantastic the other night. Fantastic. Yeah.
Cameron McInnes was outstanding. Cameron McInnes
Kennedy,
was brilliant.
Ramian McInnes.
what about Tom Burgess on a losing
side? Tom Burgess on a losing side. Some of his best numbers. Doesn't get a look in.
Wow.
Nicho Hynes picked up 2. Investigation. Jeff Tuvey, we need an investigation. This is everyone get on the text. 0457 736 736. For people who actually sat there and watched the game, tell me, where did you, like, go down points. Imagine if we had 10 points to distribute. Is Nicho Hynes in the 10? If you went 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, do you find a point for Nicho Hynes? I don't. And one judge gave him second best player on the field. Let us know. Get on the Great Southern Bank open line. 1-300-01-1170.
Just a quick golf update too. Birdies, Scheffler and Morikawa on 7. So they're both at 7 under. Åberg, birdie on 8. So also at 7 under the card. Adam Scott's round is finished. He finished at 4 over, as did Minwoo Lee, with Jason Day 1 shot further back at 5 over.
Dunny's had a good crack. It was effort, Vossie, you chubby bastard. Could hear your South hate from kickoff on Saturday, you bum. It's a nice message, isn't it? Love, isn't that a lovely message to get on a Monday morning from Dunny?
Chubby.
He doesn't. There you go. By the way, commentators don't actually impact results. If you haven't noticed, Dunny. Nothing we say in commentary will alter the game, the way the game is played.
I'm sure there's some out there that think we do. I'm a Warriors fan all day, boys. Yes, SJ put on a bit of a show, but it just can't happen now these days. Fair's fair. A bit confused how Freddie Lussick gets 4 weeks and Josh gets 1-2. Well, I guess it's the force and the injury that played a part. Really, that's not a bad point.
No.
About Freddie Lussick on Lockie
Ilias. I was surprised it was referred straight to the judiciary. I don't understand why they didn't do a dangerous contact charge and it's got graded there. Can't get dramatic just because there's a broken leg.
No, that's right. You know, but obviously that came into account. Obviously that was in their thinking and that's why he got 4 weeks.
Well, it had to save Clemmer yesterday, didn't it? Because Flanagan gets straight to his feet. That saves Clemmer yesterday. Clemmer should be off for 10.
True. Yep.
I agree
with that.
Cameron Murray didn't look as bad, but ended up a Category 1.
Yeah,
Cameron Murray fails the HIA.
Vossie, and they showed a number of angles on Saturday night, and it wasn't until we saw the front-on angle where you realised that the contact was right on the chin from Sione Katoa.
Force.
Mitigating circumstances. Cameron Murray did sort of, when he picked the ball up, he sort of stumbled a bit, went down a bit low. That won't save, that's not going to save Sione Katoa, but... there was some circumstances around the tackle that saw him get hit in the head. Birdie on 8 for Scheffler. Wow. What about Scotty Scheffler? Like, you know, got to 8 under earlier, and then went bogey. Now he's back to 8 under. So he is the outright leader at 8 under the card.
We'll get to the Great Southern Bank open line shortly. As we get to a break, Nicho gets points for being a good-looking good guy. Thank you for that. Michael says, I didn't even see the Sharks game, and I didn't think Hynes should have got Dally M points. So thank you for that assessment, Michael. Really appreciate that.
Yeah.
In the past, it hasn't mattered if you're not at the game. If you didn't see the game with Dally M's, that's in the history of the, the awards.
That's right.
We better take a break, and then the Great Southern Bank open line gets fired up.
Vossie, just talking about the Raiders-Titans game, and the Raiders, unexpectedly, are going a lot better than many thought. And I'm one of them. I thought without Jack White, they'll struggle. I don't think anyone realised just what a player Ethan Strange was going to be.
Oh, yeah.
Now, one game in the centres last year, 580 has been remarkable. But, and you know, when you're looking at reasons why, you know, the lift in form and what the player that Xavier Savage has become this year. Like the last couple of years, and barely got a crack last year, and I think it's done him the world of good to sit him out and get him toughened up and get him ready. He's turned into a fantastic player.
And a good pickup's been Morgan Smith. He's talk about tough, you know, just doing his job. Just do your job. Breakfast is powered by Kubota. Take on any job with Kubota's mowers, tractors and Land Pride attachments. There's still $2,500 up for grabs with SEN Survivor. I crashed and burned on the weekend. All you have to do is pick one NRL winner each week to be in with a chance. To take part, head to sensurvivor.com.au. All thanks to Bryden's lawyers. By the way, we will have our coverage of Saturday's tragic and traumatic events with Robert Avadia from Channel 7 after 7 o'clock this morning, Brandy. But right now, let's go to the Great Southern Bank open line too.
Oh, yeah, the bag's there. G'day, bag. On dry land, are you?
On dry land, but heading over west today. So, yeah, be back on the rig tomorrow, so it's all coming to an end. But, boys, I know Shep, you know, when the game started, catch a ball, run behind a player, that's a penalty. But what is the history of the obstruction rule? When did it come in? And are we getting it right? Have we got it right?
I think we get it right most of the time, but we've made it pretty black and white. So there's generally, you know, and I know every now and then they'll say, no, we use a bit of common sense, and they'll show you an example where, you know, there might be an obstruction on the inside, the ball's been passed out, and you think, well, there's no way that player is getting there. So every now and then, Bag, they use common sense and go, well, I don't think he would have been able to get there anyway, even though he was, you know, taken out, outside shoulder, that sort of thing. The history of the obstruction, well, there's always been a shepherd. You could not
shepherd.
Run rampant.
Old-fashioned shepherd. Old you run around shepherd. An opponent, it was shepherd.
Yeah, that's right. Because what used to happen, the old-fashioned shepherd was you're running across the field, you go to pick up a runner, and you dummy to him because the defence has come in on him, and you then duck behind him. That was sort of how it worked. But now it's all about lead runners and players going to the line and taking a player to the line and then him colliding with defenders and taking out their opportunity to make a tackle. Now, I don't know when did lead runners and second man plays become of it in the 90s?
I will say is that with video intervention, players falling over, defenders falling over suddenly came into play, which exacerbates the situation and makes it all dramatic and almost forces the hand of officials. Thank you for the call, the Bag. We should have a Netflix series, The History of Obstruction. Mm. What a cracking voiced over by Morgan Freeman. It would be fantastic.
Yeah. Better
take a break. We're going to take a walk down memory lane in just a moment. Some big events happened on this day over history, April 15.
Here's Aloisi for a place in the World Cup.
On Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy on this day.
And on this day, 15th of April, Vossie, in 1997, baseball honours pioneer Jackie Robinson by retiring the number 42 across all major league teams.
Alrighty, 1986 on this day, Viv Richards hits a century off only 56 balls in a test against England in Antigua.
1989, 96 crushed to death and 766 injured at Hillsborough Football Stadium, Sheffield, in England during the FA semi-final between Liverpool and Nottingham Forest.
Yes, one of the saddest days in football history. We go to birthdays. Jeez, we've had to go back to find this first one. This day in 1452, Leonardo da Vinci was born, known for the Mona Lisa, of course. He would be 572 years old if he were alive today. 572.
Well done, Bossy.
Thank you.
Willie Mason, born on this day. So, Willie, happy birthday. He's 44.
Ash Gardner, who we've had on the program many times, born on this day, 1997. Happy birthday, Ash. And you got a little music to finish, Brandy?
Yeah, the All-American girl group, the Bangles, started a four-week run in 1989 on this day at number one in the UK singles chart with Eternal Flame, also number one in Australia. Am I only dreaming, or is this burning, an eternal flame? Say my name. Sort of breakfast radio.
That's
sort of
lovely.
Music, isn't it?
That's lovely, yeah. Brandy. That's absolutely lovely. We have traffic dramas on the Western Distributor. One of four eastbound lanes closed on the Western Distributor just past Anzac Bridge due to a multi-vehicle crash. Traffic's heavy. Emergency services attending there. We will cover the events of Saturday in Bondi Junction out of 7 with Channel 7's Robert Avadia.